Well, good morning again, church. It's great to be together again. And I want to start out by just asking you this. Have you ever wished that you could be in two places at the same time? You know, that this happened to me just a couple weeks ago. My niece on my wife's side, she has this little girl. Her name is Winifred, or we call her Winnie. She's a two-year-old little girl, and she is just like cute as a button. I mean, she always has a smile on her face when you come into the room or when she sees you. And so a few weeks ago, she had her second birthday party, okay? And we got invited to that birthday party like a week or two beforehand, but we had already made a commitment through the church to serve in our community, and we wanted to do that too, right? And we had committed to that, so we did not go to her little birthday party. We spent some time with her after that, but that was a situation where we wished that we could be in two places at the same time. And you know, this happens to me quite often, you know, just with church life, you know, work. I'm sure many of you work, and sometimes trying to balance work and family life and then just commitments in the community, you wish, right, that you could be in two places at one time. So with that, I ask you, does that ever happen to you where you wish you could just like clone yourself? And have maybe one of you go off to work while the other goes to a meeting, or maybe goes fishing, or maybe does some gardening, or maybe even just sleeps in a little bit? Well, with that, let me ask you this. What happens to the ministry of Jesus when he returns to his Father? After his death, after his resurrection, after his ascension, when he is no longer physically with the people? Well, we know that he leaves his work, right? He leaves his work in the hands of his 12 disciples, doesn't he? And let's be honest for a second, okay? If you know much about these 12 disciples, if you know much about humanity, that's a scary thought, to leave his ministry in their hands. Because as we know, this was kind of like a ragtag group of people overall. And right up until the time of Jesus' death, they still did not understand the true nature of his mission. They did not understand that it was not to build a kingdom on earth and to defeat the Romans, but that out of love for you and I, and out of love for all, his mission and his purpose was to defeat death and sin through his own death and his subsequent resurrection. Offering us, okay, you and I and all, the forgiveness of sin and a relationship eternal again with our God. These guys didn't get that at that time. So entrusting them with his ministry, well, again, that's a bit of a scary thought. And these guys, this ragtag group, they were still fighting. Did you know they were still fighting? They were fighting amongst each other over things like who's going to get the corner office. You know, who would sit at the right and who would sit at the left of Jesus when he became an earthly king. So again, leaving his work in their hands, scary stuff, okay? But what if? What if there could be a coach? What if there could be a coach who would come after Jesus, who could give them wisdom and courage and direction? And what if, think about it, what if this coach could be in more than one place at a time? What if the Spirit of God, the Spirit of Jesus, church, could be with these common people so that they could do uncommon things? What if the Spirit of God could be their coach, in other words? And what if God could speak directly to them? And what if the same Spirit that raised Christ from the dead, mind you, could live in them? What if? What if? Well, with that, last week we learned that God speaks, okay? He speaks to his people. He did so both in the past, and he still does today. He speaks to reveal himself, who he is and what he is about and what he is like. and he speaks to reveal his purposes and his ways, much of which, okay, he desires to work through us, his people. And he speaks to us in ways that we can understand if, okay, if, mind you, we take the time. If, mind you, we take the time to get to know him and to listen for and to him. In other words, if we are doing what we have available to us to build a relationship with him, a relationship that is stronger every day. And here's the thing. Just as Jesus, okay, just as he left those early disciples to continue the same work that they watched him do for 3 years, just like that, he calls you and I. He calls you and I, those of us who love and who follow Jesus today, he calls us to carry on his ministry today in Springville, New York, and beyond. And to that, if you're anything like me, you might say, man, that's crazy. That's crazy. Doesn't he know what I've done? Doesn't he know that I don't even know the whole Bible? Doesn't he know, fill in the blank, church? Doesn't he know that which should disqualify me from carrying on his ministry for him? Doesn't he know? Well, yeah. Yeah, he knows. But never forget, church, that he who began a good work in you will see it to completion. That's God's word to us in Philippians 1:6. And we're going to talk about a way that he empowers us to process toward that completion today. But first, we have to answer something. Just you, between you and God, you have to answer something. I have to answer something between myself and God. Are we willing to cooperate? Am I willing to cooperate with that with which he empowers me to do? In regards to the change of my own life, in regards to sharing his word with the world. So with that, I want to just ask you to pray with me as we continue in this journey this morning. And let's just ask for God to speak. Let's pray. Oh, dear good and heavenly Father, we just thank you so much, Lord, for this opportunity again to be here together. Lord, we thank you as we continue in our worship through now looking at the word. And Lord, I just ask that we could answer that question honestly before you. And Lord, that we would just say, I'm here. I am willing. And I know you've got exciting work for me to do. And Lord, would you speak to us this morning? Would you speak to us throughout our week as we continue to contemplate and talk about this message? Lord, be with me as I share your word. Have it be your message for your people. In Jesus Christ's name, amen. So here's the thing. As we think back on those original 12 disciples, those initial disciples, Jesus did not leave them on their own. And just like that, he doesn't leave us, you and I, on our own. You see, on the day of Pentecost, 50 days after Jesus' resurrection, he sent the 12 disciples his own spirit, the Holy Spirit, church. Just, mind you, as he told them that he would, if they waited. So in obedience, they did what? They waited. They waited in Jerusalem. And in essence, what they were doing is they were being still, you see. They were being still before the Lord, just as we often have to be to hear from God. And just as he told them he would send his spirit, he has told you and I this, church. He has told us this in Ephesians 1:13-14. And you also were included in Christ when you heard the message of truth, the gospel of your salvation. And when you believed, it says, you were marked in him with a seal. What is this seal? The promised Holy Spirit. Who is what? A deposit, the word says. A deposit guaranteeing your and my inheritance until the redemption of those who are God's possession. So as we continue today in our series, When God Speaks, we are going to look at how we can hear from God through the Holy Spirit of God, and how the Holy Spirit is a way in which God actually reproduces himself. He reproduces himself so he can carry on his ministry and his mission through you and through me. So with that, let's go to the final teaching of Jesus that the book of John records for us. It's in John chapter 16. If you want to get there in your Bible, we're going to be in that section of John 16, 14 today. But let's see what Jesus said about the Holy Spirit in John 16, verse 4 through 6. I did not tell you this from the beginning, because I was with you. But now, says Jesus, I am going to him, I'm going to God the Father who sent me. None of you asked me, where are you going? Rather, you are filled with grief because I have said these things. You see, up until this point, Jesus was walking and Jesus was talking with them physically. For he was fully God and fully man. That is our theology. But he needed to let them know something. He needed to let them know that he would be gone physically soon, but that they would not be left alone. Because check out the very next verse. In verse 7, it says this. But very truly I tell you, it is for your good that I am going away. Unless I go away, the advocate will not come to you. But if I go, I will send him to you. Now, the Greek word for advocate, parakletos, it means a helper. Someone called to one side to aid someone or for assistance, something like that. And it is a word that Greek writers use to denote an advocate in court, for example, as one who intercedes on one's behalf. So through all of this, we see something today. And that something is this. Through the Holy Spirit, Jesus is still with us today. Still with us today. So that the common man or woman, you or I, can do uncommon things. And Jesus was saying in John 16, 7, so much more will be done if I leave. You see, up until this point on earth, Christ's presence was limited. It was limited to what? To one place at one time, right? I mean, in the Old Testament, the presence of God was found in physical places, right? Places like the temple. And while Jesus walked this earth, he became the physical presence of God. But when he died, and when he defeated death, and when he is resurrected, only to ascend to the Father in heaven, where he is today, upon all of that happening, he would do something profound, church. He would leave, send, in fact, as we read, his very spirit, the spirit of Jesus, back to earth to be within each and every believer. And to do what again? To empower us, common people, to do uncommon and good and godly things. And also to allow his presence to be in all places, at all times. Again, so that common people can do uncommon and godly things all over. And when you think about that, come on, that's just a mind-blowing plan, right? When you really think about it, that is mind-blowing because this is an exponential way of expanding the kingdom of God all throughout the world. And you know what else? The most incredible part of this is by doing this, it communicates the truth that he wants to. He wants to partner with us. He wants to partner with you today to do this, to continue his ministry work. Church, we get to partner with Jesus. We get to partner with God for his kingdom to come on earth as it is in heaven. by his very Spirit being alive in us, guiding us, directing us, and helping us as our Parakletos, our advocate. And what's even more incredible is, if it could get even more incredible, is that he will never leave us. Never leave us. What do I mean? Well, if we back up a little bit just in the book of John to chapter 14, I want to look at verse 16 in our Bible where Jesus says this. He, the Father, okay, he will give you another advocate to help you and to be with you. How long, church, does it say? Forever. Now, Jesus, you know what? After speaking these words, he was only on earth for like a few more painful hours. And by contrast, this promise, and it is a good promise because it is from God, is that the Holy Spirit will be present with believers forever. Jesus couldn't physically be. Jesus wasn't intended to physically be present with us forever. But the Spirit of God, the Spirit of Jesus, is with us forever, from generation to generation, and from century to century, never leaving those who love Jesus and are following Jesus. So as you and I, as we become like Jesus, and as we are a part of the body of Christ, the church, his church, of which he is the head, and as we do the work of God's kingdom, the Holy Spirit, okay? You know what? The Holy Spirit is our coach. He's our coach. And it's not just that the Holy Spirit is with us every day, but more significantly, or more impactfully, maybe I should say, is he is in us. He is in us every day, all day. For the very next verse in John chapter 14, Jesus states this: for he, the advocate, lives with you and will be where? In you. In you. And then later in the New Testament, in 1 Corinthians 6:19, Paul the apostle puts it this way: do you not know that your bodies are temples, temples of the Holy Spirit, who is where again, church? In you, whom you have received from God. And what else does God's Spirit do? Well, he coaches us. That's what he does. He helps us. He coaches us. He helps us to become more like Jesus. And he empowers the common person to do uncommon things. Are you sensing a theme this morning? Now, you know, one thing that I have noticed, and I'm sure others of you maybe have noticed, about our Buffalo Bills is that they spend a lot of time on player development. That may be more evident this year than other years with all the injuries they've been facing. But what I've noticed, and probably you have too, is when a starter gets hurt, the backup player seems to be able to come in and he knows just what to do, right? It's almost like they hardly skip a beat. Well, you know what? God, your God and mine, he values player development too. But the players in this case, they're us. It's you. It's I. For we, those of us who are Christians, are on God's team. We are the God squad, if you will. And the Holy Spirit, again, he is our coach, developing us, developing you and I as players, which means sometimes he gives us a positive pep talk. He fires us up in that way. While at other times, as a good coach should, he calls us out sometimes, right? Calls us out when we mess up. Now, as Christians, we refer to that as the conviction of the Holy Spirit. And the same Holy Spirit, well, he shows us new ways of doing things like interacting with other people. And he shows us the truth about ourselves. And he reveals to us the truth about God. And also this Holy Spirit, he helps us. He helps us to understand the Word of God, the Bible, which we're going to look at next week as another way of how God speaks. And through all of this, whether the Spirit, my coach, is shaping me to be more like Jesus, or whether he is empowering me to do my part in the body of Christ, My role in all of that and yours is first to listen. To listen. And to then follow the lead of the coach, the lead of the Holy Spirit of God. In fact, we are to let him live through us. He's in us. We are to let him live through us because that's where he is. He's in us. So let's let him lead, church. Let's let him do his thing. And what this all means, in other words, is to obey. To obey that which he is leading us to. Which was one of the points last week that was emphasized in the workbook, if you're doing that, that goes along with the series. It pointed out something about sin. And sin is disobedience to God, right? Including not doing what one knows that they ought to do. And what our study this week showed in the workbook is that that clouds us. Sin and disobedience, it clouds us in our ability to hear from our God. And much of what we do, which is not of God, it distracts us. It distracts us from his greatest plan to the point of not being able to even hear him. In fact, speaking of all that, and speaking of kind of obedience and sin, I want you to listen to what else Jesus tells us that the Holy Spirit does. It's in verse 8 through 11 of John 16. When he comes, in other words, the advocate again, when he comes, he will prove the world to be in the wrong about sin and righteousness and judgment. About sin, because people do not believe in me. About righteousness, because I am going to the Father, where you can see me no longer. And about judgment, because the prince of this world now stands condemned. So over time, I personally have learned to grow in my listening to the coach's voice. And when I get it right, how do I know it's him specifically? When it comes to him pointing out something I've done wrong or something I've handled in a manner other than a Christ-like manner? Well, when he puts his finger on my life, on something in my life, my better self knows I was in the wrong. So all I'm saying is what my experience shows and what the Bible is clear about is this. The Holy Spirit, he speaks truthfully. He speaks truthfully to you and I, just like a good coach would, just like a good mentor would. And even if I don't like, maybe in the moment, what he has to say, just like I wouldn't like a coach maybe criticizing me or calling me out, at the end of the day, as a good coach does, our Holy Spirit, he's trying to develop us. He's trying to develop me. He's trying to develop you. And he has our best interest at heart. And mind you, the kingdom of God's best interest at heart. Which we, mind you, those of us who call ourselves believers, we say we care about that, right? We care about the kingdom of God and advancing it. So if we do, I've got a tough question for you. If we do, why don't we better receive? Why don't you and I better respond to his conviction and his correction? If it's for our good, if it's for the betterment of the kingdom of God, which we as believers say we care about, why do I struggle with that in my life? Why do you? We need to surrender more. And with that, I want to just talk about the qualities that the Holy Spirit develops in us. In other words, as he is speaking, what is his goal? Well, our friend, we're going back to the Apostle Paul again. He gives us a list of those qualities. And many of you may know it from Galatians 5, 22 and 23. It's the fruit of the Spirit. But I want to read it this morning from the Message paraphrase. And I think we'll just see some new things in that. So Galatians 5, 22 and 23. What is God trying to do in our lives through the Holy Spirit? It starts out this way. What happens when we live God's way? In other words, as the advocate, as the Holy Spirit is leading us to. Well, God's word says, it is then that he brings gifts into our lives. Much the same way that fruit appears in an orchard. These gifts are things like affection for others, exuberance about life, serenity, things like peace. And we develop a willingness to stick with things, a sense of compassion in our hearts, and a conviction that the basic holiness permeates things and people. We find ourselves also, when we live as the Holy Spirit leads, involved in loyal commitments, not needing to force our way in life. Aren't you tired of trying to force your way to get your way? The Holy Spirit's the fruit allows us to trust him, in other words. And then it goes on to say, able to marshal and direct our energies wisely. AKA, what that says to me is, it's the Holy Spirit's work in self-control in my life. And in saying all that, you see, Jesus was not worried. He was not worried about how his earliest disciples would do when he left them. He wasn't worried about what would happen as he returned to the Father's side, because he was not leaving them. He was not leaving them on their own. In fact, this whole section, okay, John 14 to 16, where Jesus teaches about the Holy Spirit, he also says in John 16, 13 to 15, last piece of scripture today, I promise, but he says this, but when he, the Spirit of truth, comes, he will guide you into all truth. He will not speak on his own. He will speak only what he hears. And he will tell you what is yet to come. He will glorify me, because you see, it is from me that he will receive what he will make known to you. All that belongs to the Father, said Jesus, is mine. That is why I said the Spirit will receive from me what he will make known to you. So rest assured, church, the Holy Spirit, do you know what? It speaks the heart of Jesus. The Holy Spirit, he, not an it, he speaks the heart of Jesus. And we are a people trying to follow Jesus. So listening for the Spirit, so important. Listening, engaging, being quiet enough to listen. And so with that, how did the story turn out, right? And when I say the story, how did the story turn out of that earliest Christian church? I can't go into all that. I'd encourage you, read the book of Acts, because it turned out pretty good. It turned out pretty good. Was it always easy? No. Was there persecution? Was there sacrifice? Yes. But the most important thing, the gospel, the good news that Jesus died as a sacrifice for man's sin, for people's sin, for your and my sin, but then rose again, conquering sin and death, and was and is still alive through his Spirit, which lives in you as a believer. Well, that, this most important thing that I speak of, it spread. And it spread like a wildfire. It spread like a wildfire to the point where we are talking about it 2,000 plus years later. We are still worshiping our Jesus. We are still worshiping our Savior, because of how the Holy Spirit empowered the believers to go forth. And what did the catalyst, okay? What did the catalyst of this wildfire, the Holy Spirit, do? And what does he still do? You should get it by now. Empowers common people to do uncommon and godly and good things. You see, their story continues in our day through us, through you and I, when we are willing to listen for and follow the leading of the Holy Spirit. And when we allow ourselves, okay, to be transformed, or in other words, when we listen to our coach, when we listen to the Holy Spirit, and when we act on what we're hearing. And I'm telling you something. When you start doing that, more and more, using your Spirit-given gifts, using your Spirit-led opportunities for God's glory, and to maybe be transformed yourself and to serve others, the Spirit fills you with a joy. The feeling like I was made for this. Now, with all that said, I think it's only right, okay, as we near the close of this message, for me to just talk about, to share a couple practical things that you and I can do to help us really determine if it is, in fact, the Holy Spirit that's speaking, because there's lots of voices flying at us. So what can we do to realize it's not ourselves, it's not something else, it's the Holy Spirit? And this is something I'm sure that in your groups, if you're in a group or doing the daily study for this series, you're going to continue digging into. But here's the first thing. We have to ask ourselves, okay, is what we are hearing, is what we're being led to do, is it written? Is it written? What does the Bible, what does God's word say to us about this subject or about this feeling or about this leading? Also, we should pause. We should pause when we get these leadings and we should ask ourselves, what feeling does this thing that I'm hearing, this thing I'm being prompted to do, what feeling does that create in me? Does it produce a self-serving, self-gratifying feeling? Or is it more of the fruit of the Spirit, you know, things like love, joy, peace, and patience? And is it more about others or is it more about me? And I'm just going to tell you, if it's more about you, that's just a cause for pause. It's a cause for pause and to wait and to seek God more. And in relation to this, I think we also should ask, how will this, what I'm being prompted to do, how will it affect my testimony to God? And how will it affect my relationship with God? Positive or negative? These are good things to consider as you and I discern the voice of God and the Holy Spirit in our lives. And then also, okay, and this is why the groups many of you are in, this is why this is important during the series. When you are discerning the voice of God, the Holy Spirit's voice, see what other believers think. Share what you are hearing, sense, share what you are sensing. And then lastly, you know, maybe take a step. Maybe take a step toward that thing and see if God is opening a door or if he's closing a door. And ask him in advance, if this is of you, keep opening doors or close them and trust him. Trust him when he does that. So with that, I want to just invite the worship team forward. And it'd be my honor to pray with you. Dear good and heavenly Father, we come before you this morning. And Lord, these are just deep theological truths that we're talking about today. That Jesus and the Holy Bible show to us that the Holy Spirit of God was sent to dwell within the believer. And Lord, I just pray that we would be a people that receive that Spirit fresh and new every day, that we are giving you space so we can hear from you. And Lord, that we would be able to discern better your voice by maybe some of these practical things we talked about and knowing our word more and digging in and talking to other believers and not just rushing into something, but really discerning what does this feeling elicit and who is it about? Is it more about me or others? Lord, would you just help us to better hear your Holy Spirit's voice in our life? And Lord, I just want to pray for somebody here that, you know, maybe they aren't marked yet with a seal, because the Holy Spirit comes when we place our faith in Jesus. So Lord, I would just ask if there's anyone among us that has not accepted Jesus Christ, his forgiveness of sin, the main purpose of why he came, to die only to rise again, conquering sin and death on our behalf, so we can have an eternal relationship with God again. I pray that whoever that may be would just surrender to you and say thank you, God, for your perfect plan of salvation. And then from there, the Holy Spirit will come in and just help to shape their lives. Because at the end of the day, he has our best interest in mind, and he has the kingdom of God's best interest in mind. And our part in that can be discerned through the Holy Spirit. So Lord, help us, lead us, guide us, be our coach. Help us to embrace you as our coach. Help us to understand that you are in the game of player development, growing us day by day. And help us to participate in that and to accept the invitation to that. We pray this in Jesus Christ's name. Amen.